It's always a joy to have Reverend Dr. Lori Bolster here. I have known her for decades, and it's always been a joy to be her friend and to be uplifted by her ever-expanding consciousness. And I love hearing her talks, and I love hearing from everybody else how much you love hearing her talks. And I'm just so grateful to Lori for stepping in with 2 weeks' notice and bringing us today's program. So I invite everybody to mute, and we will hear Lori enlighten us today. Thank you for being here, Lori.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. And I always hope that whatever it is that I bring in is useful to people and meaningful. A lot of what we say here is the same thing. I remember somebody saying at some point that certain ministers just say the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. And yeah, there's a message, and that's the message, and there you are. But it's, excuse me, it's fun reviewing Holmes's work and his writings and watching where his mind is going. And it's like, whoa, really? Huh? Okay, I got you. So that's fun. But in this is about the power of ideas, power of creative thought and creative mind. And so he, of course, talks about that there is a creative intelligence that we are living in and we're swimming in it. We, you know, there's nothing to that, that something did all this. And so that this creative intelligence is the sea in which we are swimming. And so any thinking that's going on is going on within this creative intelligence, within this mind of God, if you use that terminology, and that it's creative, and it's creative regardless of what direction you're going. So that, as he says, that the same mind that creates illness creates getting better, creates one thing that we may not want, creates the other. And so much of it has to do with just, what are we doing with our fine mind? That's my motto. What are you doing with your fine mind? Right. And that a lot of the issue that we have is that we don't pay attention to what we're doing with our fine mind. We just go along, you know, whatever it is we're doing it. And another author says it's a lot like Groundhog Day. This is about a man who had to live the same day over and over again. Couldn't prevent the events occurring, but he did learn that how he responded to them transformed the whole experience of the day. He discovered that as his mind began to get over its usual animosity and greed, and as he started to think of others, his life improved greatly. Of course, it took him a long time to grasp this idea. You could tell because at the beginning of the movie, he was learning how to play the piano, and by the end, he was playing a sonata. And so basically, the message is that we just get stuck in these routines that we have, our routine ways of thinking, and we forget to remember who we are. That we're not just some bit of something floating down a river. Well, maybe we are, but we have a little more control than that. We have a little more to say about it than that in our own lives. And that if we are paying attention, then we can remember how we want to be, what is important in our lives, what kinds of things we don't need to be doing or thinking, what kinds of things support our spiritual growth and our turning into who we truly could be. And that if we can just be aware for a few moments and extend it a little, but we're aware for a bit, or we meditate for a bit, or we do some creative prayer for a bit, and then we promptly forget. It takes no time at all to be on to something else. And I surprise myself sometimes how fast I can be somewhere else. And it's like, I was doing something really meaningful for me, or to me, and I was having a good time doing it. I was really appreciating what I was doing. And then all of a sudden, I'm off. What? How did that happen? Especially since the quality of what I was engaged in was so good and so meaningful. And then, poof, and a little grasshopper goes, boing, someplace else now. But anyway, so how do we remember to remember? That's the issue. We have this big problem with just being who we are, how we are. We just keep doing how we are. And sometimes it takes quite a bit of effort and consistent effort to turn into something different from that. And just how we, the difficulty with this is that how we do anything is how we do everything. And how we experience things, we're experiencing through, as this person says, the filter of ideas, preconceptions, judgments. So when we meet somebody, we don't see them as they actually are. We see them in relationship to what we're thinking about them, how much we like or dislike, whether they remind us of somebody else, what sort of qualities they have. We're not experiencing them in themselves. Everything, it's just that we perceive, everything we perceive is like that. It's always about, you know, anything we eat or hear or touch or say or interact or smell or anything is immediately interpreted back to ourselves in conformity with our own thoughts. And we just do this spiral, this cycle of this Groundhog Day, basically. It's all about our previous thoughts and experiences, and everything is filtered right through them again. And we live there. And so maybe it doesn't matter, but the difficulty is that we become more conditioned, more robotic. Somebody pushes our buttons and we just, you know, respond from the conditioned response. We're not here and now. We're filtering everything through something already. So, and then we forget and we just keep doing that. We need to learn how to look at things in a brand new way, as if it's brand new, like we're seeing it for the first time. And so we get this established I self. This is who I am. Except that the who I am is my responses, my reactions, my autonomic reactions to anything, to people I meet, interactions, experiences that I'm having, that they're not fresh, they're not new. And that is the thing that's so stunning, is to realize that this I am this way, is separate from this creative mind. My thoughts, my intentions are impressed upon this creative mind. We end up with this separation, a duality, where this I and this creative power, and that's the separation. And that's the big error that humans make. It's a basic misunderstanding of how things really are. That there's no, it's interesting, a while back I heard somebody say that, or maybe I read it, that when we talk about I, me, mine, me, I'm talking now, we point here. Point in our heart when we refer to me. Yeah, I do that. Me, that's mine. It's mine. We don't say, this is me. I don't do that. We might go to I think because then we're thinking. But when we talk about ourselves, we point at our hearts. And so somehow, I don't know if it's this culture especially or what happened here, but somehow we've separated out from, call it source energy, but even that is kind of an object. Source energy, it's a thing. And so we go through life with this kind of an interaction, this way of filtering information and we've collected all this information from science and philosophy and religion that's created what we think and what we believe. So we kind of come, we need to have some kind of an understanding of why we believe what we believe, how we believe it. I don't know if we can go there, but why do we believe what we believe? And so we think through that, we analyze that. But then it comes down to how we are a creative being. We talk about creative prayer. Holmes says, we put nothing into this power of mind, creative mind. We only take out. And I think that, I really think Ernest Holmes was teaching Americans from Judeo-Christian backgrounds in the first half of the last century. And so he's teaching people in a way that they can get their minds around. He teaches practicalities. But it's very practical that when we learn that if we eat this thing and it makes us feel good or not good or bad or sick, and then we eat this thing, it feels better, but when we eat this thing, it's really good for us. Well, then we can take a look at that and say, on basis of practicalities, well, eat this, not that. This one is good for you, that one's not. This one you'll feel better, this one you'll feel sick. And so we learn how to do things that way. We learn how to interact with people. We learn shortcuts for interaction. We have an assumption that we understand everybody, and yet it turns out that no. My spouse and I had a couple of stunning discoveries several years into our relationship and marriage, in that I was giving her what I thought was the best piece of something, and it turns out she finally, you know, snapped and said, why do I always get the crappy part? Oh, well, great, give me that back, and you take the part that I don't want. I've been taking because I thought I was giving you the good stuff. And we've had a couple of things like that, where we realized that what I really, really wanted was giving her, it turns out, no, she didn't want that at all. She wanted the other one. It's like, oh. So even people close to us, we really don't know until we discover some, you know, surprising fashion. Like, oh, okay, great. Glad to hear it. Yay. And with people around us, we don't. We think we understand each other. We make assumptions about language and meaning. And yet, we don't really. We're just floating along thinking we do with this facade filter that we've got going. And it works a lot of the time in practical measures. But in terms of our spiritual development, how and who and how we want to be able to be, it creates some obstacles and creates some, not just deficiencies, but some you know, things that are just actually not true, false beliefs. And so we have to understand that, yes, this power that can make us sick can also make us well. And Holmes says that there's no mediator here. It's just us and this power. And that we meet God in the secret place where God lives. And when we do that, when we're in the secret place with God where God lives, then some of these things drop away. Then we're functioning in alignment, again, as a physical term. All these terms, all these words, all these ways of explaining things really are attached to the physical world because that's how we understand things on a routine basis. And so we become aligned with. I like to think in terms of that we just live within. We are of this creation, whatever it is, that we live and breathe and thrive or not within it. And so as long as we can stay there in positive things, then we are a creative force in a way that we think we want to be, rather than just slopping around in knows where. I don't know that I remember Holmes ever using the word mindfulness. But that awareness, that state of awareness, being mindful, paying attention. Because if we pay attention, it can be, as long as we're paying attention, it can be about whatever we intend. It can be all about positive. It can be there rather than, you know, sliding into gloom and doom, which is easy to do right now. But we can stay positive because it's an energetic field of sorts. And so if we stay this way, it matters. It matters. In some place, he says that if there's one person along with God doing something, then there you are. That's a majority. I think that's an interesting thought. One person aligned with God is a majority. Okay, and practicalities. It's fun to think, and on some level, it's just simply true. When you get enough people who are staying that way and living that way and working within that kind of consciousness within this powerful mind, this powerful creation, this creative force, it matters. It can sway. It can make a difference. And also in terms of just an individual, if we're staying positive, that functions in support of positive experiences, of health, of recovery, of resilience. And so why would you not choose that? And this is not being Pollyanna. This is not magical thinking. It's like, I declare the truth about myself. I now have three arms because that comes in handy. That's just kind of nuts. It's an interesting fantasy, but you know, you could write a short story. But in real life, just staying positive in terms of, here's how my preferences go. Now, if I get really attached to my preferences, then I can pull myself into negativity because I'm not getting what I prefer. I'm not getting what I desire. But if you can stay in right here and now, because some of that stuff is future or past, I didn't get, or it's not working out, I don't see how this is going to work out. That's both of those, future and past, let them go. Right here, right now, what's happening? How am I right now? What am I doing with my fine mind right now? Because on a practical level, I'm programming myself for being aware of my desires, of my intentions, of how I want to be, and staying there, of noticing what's going on in my world around me. And so if we can stay in that aware state, paying attention, being aware of, you know, calibration of my trajectory, how I am right now, then I am more likely to get to where I really want to be. And so we want to create, we have no habit of remembering or finding a way to remember how we want to be and to check in with ourselves. We have a habit of not paying attention, really. And so that's how we live, is just by not paying attention. And so as we go along in this habit of not paying any attention, we get information coming in from all over the place and from what Holmes says, like science and philosophy and religion over our lifetimes, and here it all comes, and it continues to do so from the television, from online stuff, from here, there, and everywhere, from people we talk to. We got all this stuff coming in, and newspapers, if people read newspapers, etc., and it's all just, it pours in and fills us up. It's just, we end up full of junk, just stuff. It's just clutter. It's taking up space and tugging our attention in ways that we don't remember that, oh, I didn't want to go there. I want to be someplace else. And so we have to have a way of clearing out all this junk, all this clutter, all this noise. And now it's far worse than when Holmes was walking around. He died in 1960. And so the world was a way different place. He didn't have a clue what was coming. And so the more that we are prepared for what we're living in and what's coming and what's coming, the more we're prepared to remember, oh, right, I needed to take care of myself. I need to let go of all this junk. I need to find clarity, silence, stillness, clarity, all this stuff that I didn't need, and remember, oh, I don't need this stuff. I can release it. the more we can do that, the more we can stop collecting and hanging on to all this junk, the more we can live here and now and have a remembered way, a routine or a ritual of letting this stuff go. So we stay clear and light and able to truly be with who we are and within this powerful creative force, this creative mind, and to live there fully, more and more and more. And so that's what we're pursuing here and talking about this morning. And I think that's a good place to stop for the first part of this. Thank you.